I'm going to greet you all as Paul did in 2 Corinthians. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. We have heard so much today already. The God of all grace and comfort, mercy. We have heard the impossible that happened, but it was God. And we've been encouraged through the children's lesson to give, to pour out ourselves. And God gives more. And then we sung the song, I know that grace and power are in His hand. Are we acknowledging that as individuals this morning? That grace and power are in the hands of God. And we trust Him in that way. Why don't we all bow and have a word of prayer yet before we continue? Lord, Heavenly Father, we feel the need. We thank you for the blessings that you have given this morning. Father, you have given us so much. Our heart rejoices in you because we know no matter what we face, there is safety in you. And Lord, as we learn of you, as we grow in you, we desire that you would continue to teach us and show us your way. Father, thank you for every brother and sister in here. Pray that you would bless every one of them as we continue to look to you, as you give the grace and strength and power that we need to continue on in life. And Lord, as we see the needs of our own soul, if there's anyone here that's not surrendered, that you are calling, would you continue to call men to yourself, women to yourself, so that your kingdom could be furthered here on this earth? Father, we pray for all the ones that are not here. Pray for the ones in North Carolina, would you bless them as they're having communion this forenoon? Father, we pray for all the ones that are not able to be here because of sickness, or choosing not to be here, we pray that your power and your love would abound. Father, we commit this day, I commit my life into your care. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been encouraged very much this morning, sitting here, and Reuben picked the first song, Study to Show Thyself Approved. I was encouraged as I was preparing for this in that very scripture to study to show myself approved unto God. So I don't think that these are mistakes or just happenings that God brings these things together to encourage our hearts. And the song that I was on my heart as I was preparing was All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. And that was the very next song that Reuben picked. So thank you, Brother Reuben, for picking those songs. You can open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And this morning I would like to go starting in chapter 5, verse 17, as we work towards the title that I have chosen that we want to look at today. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Stands out, all things are become new. The challenge for our life to be fully surrendered so that all things can become new. Verse 18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself. Are we thankful for that reconciliation that God saw fit, that we have a great need? Every soul has that great need, but he sent his Son to reconcile us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you feel that burden this morning that God has given you when he reconciled you to God, that he has given you the ministry of reconciliation? Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So in verse 18 we see that we have the ministry of reconciliation. If we are reconciled to God, we are chosen, we are ordained ministers in reconciliation, for reconciliation for other people. And then in verse 19 we see that we have received the word of reconciliation. So God gives us his word to reconcile men to himself. He's not looking to Jesus today, but he's looking to us to minister that reconciliation to other people. Verse 20, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And if I understand correctly what an ambassador is, an ambassador from the country of America does not live in America, but he is in another country representing America. So if we look at that as the kingdom of God, that we are reconciled to God, we are representing Christ, but we're not in the kingdom of this world. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us. Jesus Christ had to become sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Going over to chapter 6. We then. So now we have the ministry of reconciliation. We have the word of reconciliation that God has given us when he reconciled us to himself. Now chapter 6 starts in, we then, those that are reconciled, we then, as workers together with God, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Don't receive it in vain. Verse 2, for he saith, I have hurt thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And verse 2 is in parentheses. And if you go back to Isaiah 49, there's very similar words that Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 49. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him who whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Then verse 8, thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. Then as we go to verse 3 of chapter 6, remembering that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, he has given us his word of reconciliation. Then verse 3 says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. What ministry? That the ministry be not blamed. Isn't it the ministry of reconciliation? The word of his ministry that he has given us, the burden that he desires that all of us would be ministering reconciliation to other people. If you and I become offended in anything, can the ministry of reconciliation be blamed? I do believe it can. And I do believe it will. If we carry offenses, the ministry of reconciliation will not continue. I've felt it. And I needed to search my own heart in this. Falling before God. Search me. Try me. Know me. We desire to know God. And to bring all our cares to him. Because we all want to be ministering reconciliation. We want to be blameless because we are called to a ministry that's not of ourselves. Verse 4 of chapter 6 is where the title that I'd like to get to. But in all things, here it's all things again, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And that's what we'd like to look at for today. How can we approve ourselves? How can we stand with God as we approve our own self? It doesn't say approve other people. Paul is calling to the Corinthians to approve themselves. To agree and accept what God agrees to, what God accepts. The order that God has given, the ministry that he has ordained for every child of his. But then the first one he mentions, in much patience. Are we In the ministry of reconciliation, are we being patient? Or do we think that we could teach one time and everybody that we speak to, everybody that we encourage, everybody that we exhort immediately hears the word of God, responds to the word of God, reconciles to God? Or do we need to be patient? Do we need to continue to encourage? We need much patience. And Paul is calling us today to look at our own life. Are we being cheerfully enduring or patiently continuing as we're ministering the word of reconciliation? In afflictions, do we have afflictions among us? Are there things that come up that look hard? Do we have burdens? Do we feel persecuted, trouble, or tribulation in this life? Afflictions, things that come our way, are we approving as the ministers of God? Or does myself come out? Am I patient through this ministry? In necessities, before we look at necessities, Hebrews 10, but call to remembrance. When we are facing afflictions, when we are challenged, to be patient, call to remembrance the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. You continued on. You didn't worry about because you knew that God is with you. You knew that the way you chose, the surrender you made to God, it was right. You went for it. You did everything that God asked you to do. Partly whilst you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst you became companions of them that were so used. And we can look back at our lives and see where we, when we were willing to stand, and today when we're willing to stand, we will face these things. We will face afflictions. We will face the need to be patient. And I think we will all face necessities, needs in our life, or even just physical needs. What do we do with them? How do we handle it? Are we approving our own soul as a soul that is in the ministry of reconciliation? We're faithful to God. Are we approving ourselves? Because needs are real. Do we cry out to Him? In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and He saith unto me, My grace. Paul felt this neediness. He felt weak. He begged that the thorn in the flesh would part from him. But he got this encouragement. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Is that our life? Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities. Paul is encouraging us that he took pleasure in these things. Persecutions, he took pleasure in distresses. for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He's not strong of his own power, but in the ministry of reconciliation, then is he strong. When God's grace is working in his life. And another way that we can continually observe our own life is their life coming forth when we speak, when we encourage, when we're patient, when we face these afflictions, necessities, is their life coming out of us? Are we faithful in the ministry of reconciliation? Are we approving continually? In calamities, distresses, do we turn to him? Lord, we're working for you. We don't know why this is happening. Whatever the distress may be, the trouble you find yourself in, do we approve faithful to God? And in verse 5, stripes and imprisonments. Very few of us have faced stripes and imprisonments because of the ministry of reconciliation. But Paul here did. And he's encouraging the Corinthians, if you do, and I think if we're faithful in patience and afflictions and necessities, the things that we do face, then we can also be encouraged that God will give the grace and strength we need when we do face imprisonment, when we do face stripes. Tumults. What are tumults? I didn't know what that is. Disorder and confusion. Do we face disorder sometimes? Or confusion, things we don't understand? Why is this happening? It's so disorder. But maybe God wants to work in my life. The purifying of silver that we heard this morning. Do we allow God to work through these trials that come? And as we're going down through this, notice that in verse 4 and 5, we see a lot of in. We're facing these trials. It's in. We're in the fire. We're in testing. We're in these trials. Romans 8, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Question mark. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors. If we allow these things to work the beauty of him in the ministry as we serve. Does any of you face labors? I think we can all say there are things to do. There are things we feel need to be done. We got to get this done. We got to get that done. Labors, toil, it brings weariness to our life. Do we approve ourselves in those things as the ministers of Christ? In watchings, In Revelation 14, thinking about laborings, verse 13 of Revelation 14, "And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors." Eternal rest. "And their works do follow them." That's encouraging, that as we're facing these labors in today's life, while you're here on this earth, God is keeping record of your labors, because he says our works will follow us as we go to the grave. Let's be faithful in laborings. Another verse in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. "For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God." So Paul is encouraging the Thessalonians that as they came, they saw needs for their own life to be sustained, but they did not look to the church of Thessalonians of Thessalonica. They didn't look to them to supply their need, but they worked night and day. They were in much labors, and I'm sure Paul got weary. But it's encouraging to me that he's encouraging the Corinthians in these things, because that means he saw the power of God working in his own life by giving and casting his bread upon the water, pouring out himself in watchings, simply being awake when other people are sleeping and you are not sleeping. That's called watchings. What do we do? I'm sure there's moms here that have those times of watchings. What do we do with them? And us as fathers. Maybe we're hurting. Maybe there are things that we're facing that keep us from sleeping. Do we approve as the ministers of God in those times? Do we cry out to him? Do we use that time as a time to connect, pray for other people, as God brings situations to our mind? In watchings. Paul said he was in watchings often. Let's just read that account where Paul encourages them. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, more than you can count, in prisons more frequent, in death often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." So 5 times he faith 39 stripes. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city and perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, and in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Did any of you ever face more than what Paul faced? Then he says, beside the things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. And yet, he feels the burden, facing all these things, but he feels the burden of caring for all the churches. And he's willing to be poured out. Are we observing our life, what is coming out? As the ministers of reconciliation, approving ourselves. Sometimes we talk with someone and they share their story and we look at our or compare our troubles or the things that we're facing with what we just heard, and it's like our troubles are very small when we hear what some people face. I faced that this week, heard a story, and I called my wife and I said, our troubles are so small. God cares about every need that everyone has. Fasting, the last one that Paul mentions here as the trial. To be willing to not eat for the sake of the ministry of reconciliation. Fasting, abstaining from things or food, to approve ourselves as the ministers of God. As we come to verse 6, we see that it switches from in these things, in these trials, to by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Divine provisions that Paul encourages us that he faced. After the trials, he faced these provisions of being pure through these trials. And by the word of God, the knowledge that he had of the word of God, that God continues to be with him. By being long-suffering, God has given him the gift that he could be long-suffering with the needs that he had, and to be kind, and to give him the Holy Spirit. And I'm always, when I come across that Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, I remember back to a time when I was seeking, what is the Holy Spirit? How does it look? And God very clearly showed me it's nothing but pureness. It's holy. If your life is holy and you're guided by that holiness that God encourages you in, and if it's unholy, it's not the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is pure. It's holy. By love unfeigned. Do we have love unfeigned in this ministry of reconciliation? That it's sincere, it's genuine. We're not hypocritical as we walk together, as we walk with other people. They see a genuineness in our life that's coming out. An outward expression, does the outward expression match the internal reality? The outward expression, what do people see of me? Does that match the reality in my heart and in your heart? Is it by love unfeigned as we serve in this ministry of reconciliation? Is it by the word of truth? Does it line up with what God speaks? And by the power of God, or is it by my strength, what I did, how much I can do? Is it by the armor of righteousness, what he has given, the strength that he has given that allows us to do what we do? Divine provisions. Let us continue to approve ourselves as the ministers. James 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your heart, don't glory. Glory not, and don't lie against the truth. Be honest with where you see your heart is at. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Picture of hypocritical. But let's go by the word of truth and by the power of God. Entering to verse 8, here it switches again. By honor and dishonor. When Paul faced honor or dishonor, people spoke well of him or disrespectfully or degradingly. He's encouraging that we approve ourselves as the ministers of God, if we're honored or if we're dishonored. When there's an evil report or a good report, they're deceived, yet they're true. Paul is calling that in the ministry of reconciliation, that we approve ourselves to God to be faithful. Victory. Verse 9, as unknown and yet well known, Paul stayed in Christ, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed. And we read the time that he faced five times, 39 stripes, but he wasn't killed. And the time when they thought they had killed him, but he was not dead. He actually got up and went into the next city and started preaching again. Is that what we would do? Will we continue in this ministry of reconciliation to be faithful to him? As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. People might have been saying that Paul is just this sorrowful, whatever report they gave, that the description was sorrowful yet always rejoicing. In his heart, I do believe Paul was rejoicing, because he honestly said, in these things I do rejoice. When I face these trials and afflictions, he rejoiced. As poor, yet making many rich. And if we look at that as in an earthly sense, it can't be possible. Poor yet making many rich. But if we look at it in the eternal sense, in the kingdom of God, the prize is not bought with money, but in the preciousness of his spirit, His ministry, approving ourselves as the ministers of Christ. Having nothing, yet possessing all things. And here we come back to the illustration that Elson gave again. Having nothing, giving it, and yet possessing all things. It came back more than I had to think of the verse, give and it shall be given you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and it's still running over. So verse 4 and 5, we see the trials that Paul describes here. Verse 6 and 7, we see the divine provisions that God had given him. And verse 8, 9, and 10, the victory over circumstances, that he proved faithful in this ministry of reconciliation. He approved faithful. And if we look at verse 11, see the expression of Paul's heart of pouring out. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you. Our heart is enlarged. There comes the picture forth of patience, of whatever they faced. We're poured out for you, is what he's saying here. We were willing to speak the hard things to encourage you. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. Use my example that I have given you to pour out for other people, is what Paul's encouraging here. Verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Paul encouraging again that we stay focused on the ministry that we have. Not be defiled with other things that distract us. Light and darkness is a difference. Are we aware of our surroundings? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Simply stating, Christ and the devil do not mix. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? They don't have a part. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? There's a clear difference. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. The promise that God will dwell in us if we are faithful in the ministry. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 17, wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Who wants to hear those words from God? I will receive you. I think we all desire to be received of God. Verse 18, he says, and will be a father unto you. He desires to be our father. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And I'd like to close with the verse. First verse in chapter 7. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Why does he say, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit? Can we be unclean in our flesh and unclean in our spirit? I think we can. Is our spirit pure? Is our love unfeigned? Are we pure in Christ? And I'll close with Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of thine heart. Commit thy ways unto him. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. He is a faithful God that desires all our loyalty in this ministry of reconciliation. And he knows the attitude of my heart, and he knows the attitude of your heart. May we be faithful in serving him. May the Lord bless you.